Hello and welcome to the Wednesday, September 4th, 2013 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Washington, D.C. We got a diary from Rob today where he's recounting the experience he had recently bringing up a new internet uplink with, of course, new IP addresses that came with it. Problem was that whoever held these IP addresses in the past managed to get onto Microsoft's blacklist for Office 365. So users of Microsoft's email service were not able to receive emails from these IP addresses. First problem was that there wasn't an easy way to check if your IP addresses are blacklisted. Most of the blacklist services out there do employ some kind of online tool where you can check an IP address and make sure that it is listed or not listed. Not so for this particular Microsoft service. So in the end, he had to open a paid support ticket with Microsoft to get himself removed. I expect this to happen more and more in the near future as IPv4 address space is getting scarce. ISPs and registrars will recycle IP addresses much faster than they used to in the past. So your chances of ending up with IP address space that was recently used by some malicious entity will increase and these problems will become more common. And Facebook fixed an interesting flaw that would have allowed any user to delete any image on Facebook. This flaw was again found as part of Facebook's bug bounty program and awarded a pretty good sum of $12,500. But it's also a pretty tricky kind of authentication or access control bypass flaw, which is why I think it deserves a little bit more discussion. Now, the way it works, if you don't agree with an image on Facebook, you can request it to be removed. Now, first this will go to Facebook staff, and while you're waiting for this image to be removed by Facebook staff, there's a support portal that you can log into to track the progress of your request. Now, possibly you're not happy with the speed at which Facebook acts on this, so there is another option in a support request where you can ask the actual owner of the image to take down that particular picture. So there's essentially a button where you click and then it will forward the request to the owner of the image. The problem is that the actual recipient of that message can be altered by the user. By altering the recipient ID, the attacker could now send a request to another account owned by the attacker, and then essentially the attacker can approve the request himself, in effect deleting the image. So in the end, it's yet another example where critical information like the recipient is provided by the user, not provided on the server. And FireEye is reporting about a new kind of remote access Trojan that they have seen in some targeted attacks. They call it NJWARM, not 100% sure if that's the correct pronunciation, but one of the interesting parts here is the sort of the WARM part, that it's actually spreading. Remote access Trojans are usually sent to a victim in a target attack to gain remote access to a system, but they usually have not a lot of sort of automatic spreading capability. In this case, this part is actually pretty interesting in that it copies itself to removable media, but it will not just copy itself over. It will then also create symlinks from some existing folders to this Trojan in order to trick the user, being kind of familiar with the files that used to be in the symlinks location, to then click on it and execute the Trojan while doing this. So this is kind of a method I haven't seen before. It doesn't rely at all on auto start or mechanisms like this, which are typically disabled in some of the more secured environment. It also also interestingly steals no IP credentials, which no IP is one of those dynamic DNS services. And of course, attackers like to use these services in order to hide some of their command and control infrastructure. And then it looks like there may be another sort of breakthrough in practical quantum cryptography. Quantum cryptography is often used to exchange keys, so something that's called QKD or quantum key distribution. One of the problems here was that while it sounds good in theory, one of the problems in practical applications is that you have to count single photons, and on real networks, sometimes single photons get lost. And that would allow an attacker to selectively pick some of these photons without getting detected, because there's certain tolerance against some signal loss. The new technique introduces a second party that will actually be the receiver and then just forward differences it detects in the data sent from the two parties. So the actual data isn't really transmitted from Alice to Bob, but instead only to this third party, Charlie. Interesting to see that it actually worked in some more or less realistic experiments. One apparently in a lab with a 50 kilometer spool of fiber. The other one did use different locations that were about the same order, sort of 10 to 20 kilometers away from each other. Well, that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.